San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, March 8th. Today's lesson is As Above, So Below with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an amazing day. You know what today is? It is a new daylight savings time day. So yesterday, you were supposed to set, well, actually this morning in the middle of the night, you were supposed to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Otherwise, you would be late for church, late for meditation, or you could be late for many other reasons. But the divine truth is you are where you need to be when you need to be there, and nothing can ever change that. And so we are continuing our theme for March, living in balance. So I have something that I want to say that will help us to be anchored in that truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call that God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. That infinite invisible that manifests as we, the visible, as above, so below. And that's the name of our talk today, As Above, So Below. Now, balance can be defined as a state of equilibrium and stability, that pleasing harmony of various elements, or the comparative relationship between two or more things. So I can compare, I've got a son and a daughter. In harmony, they are both people, they are both humans. In contrast, they are different. But there are more things alike between them than there are differences. That's the way of the entire world. There's more alike than there are differences. I'll be talking about that more next week in our Living in Balance Symmetry of Nature. We'll see how everything is all alike. In order for us to live in balance, there has to be a certain stability and harmonious relationship between various aspects of our lives. There has to be a relationship between rest and exercise, between sleep and activity, meditation and stimulation, comedy and tragedy, rock and roll, and classical. Of course, if you look to the roots of rock and roll and the roots of classical, they're all the same. It's only one. And one thing that helps us to live a life in balance is a sense of humor. Can you imagine how, if we looked at everything and took everything seriously, including ourselves, we might never see light in the world at all? Because life can be so demanding that we will often miss these precious moments in our lives where we can laugh at ourselves, where we can witness comedy of reality going on around us. It's unfolding before us each and every day. Each and every day. If we take everything too seriously, we will miss those opportunities to laugh and to realize the importance of humor that keeps us lighthearted and spiritually sane. Reverend John and I used to laugh at inane things, silly things. We would see some commercial on television, and it would be for a drug for a serious disease, and it'd say all these things, these wonderful things it's going to do for you. And then at the very end, there's this fast-talking guy that says, possible side effects are blah, 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 including death. And we saw that, and it was over and over. And so to make light of that, what we would do is say, yes, and, you know, don't take it if you're pregnant. Don't take it if your mother was pregnant. Don't take it if your children are ever going to be pregnant. because it has all these terrible side effects. But to make light of it, to bring it up into a lighter atmosphere. Yes, it's a medicine that does good for some people, but balance. It's not good for everybody, and it's not perfect. Only the divine is perfect. Everything on earth is perfect in itself, but it's not spiritually perfect. Living in balance also demands a dedication and a willingness to adjust your lifestyle and habits that will allow you to experience a happy, healthy, creative, and prosperous life. Everyone has their own balance point in life. Finding a balance that works for me may not be the balance that works for you. For instance, Noble, the right height of the heels on your boots would not be as big of an issue for you as it is for me. Because, as far as I know, you don't wear dresses and boots. Now, you might, but I do. And so it's important to me that I have the right height of the body of the boot and the right height of the heel of the boot. So this is where your sense of humor comes in and goes, right. Noble wearing a dress and boots. Now, that would be something to see. If we ever do that to you, Noble, we'll put you in a cowboy boots and some old-fashioned prairie dress costume.
I tell people in my first life when I was a lady.
Oh, so in the past you've decided the height of your boots. So we have our own balance point. And that is also a balanced point between our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions. So this morning we're going to continue explorations in consciousness as we look at as above, so below. As above, so below. And there's many interpretations for that famous saying. The original concept of as above, so below is attributed to the Hermetic traditions of philosophical and religious beliefs. They're based on the Emerald Tablet that was found by Alexander the Great in the tomb of Hermes. According to legend, Hermes Trismegistus is said to be a combination of the Greek god Hermes and the Egyptian god Thoth. He is said to have provided wisdom of light in the ancient mysteries of Egypt. He carried with him an emerald tablet, upon which was recorded all the secrets of life and knowledge. All the secrets. So you know what that means to me? We've been overcomplicating it. If all the secrets of life and knowledge could be on one emerald tablet, it was condensed into its core essence. Inscribed upon the emerald stone were the words, as above, so below. That which is below corresponds to that which is above, and that which is above corresponds to that which is below. It is said that the emerald tablet was the inspiration behind many of the esoteric traditions and beliefs that resulted in the current world religions. Now, if you're an ancient aliens aficionado, this could launch into great conspiracy and conjecture and that we've been populated by aliens. Well, that could be true. I mean, look around you. Look around you. There are some interesting looking people. Are they aliens? Are they Martians? Are they Venusians? They are creatures of God. Every one of them. Everything is God, no matter what its disguise. As above, so below. And God said, let us make man in our image. And so we are the very image of the divine that works on this planet. The tablet, The Emerald Tablet refers to the three parts of wisdom of the universe. And so let me give you a more meaning and history to the saying, as above, so below. It has within its meaning the principles of science of mind and the delicate balance of life itself. When there is a balance between the physical and the spiritual laws of the universe, mankind experiences harmony, love, abundance, and all the good that life has to offer. And so this morning we're going to touch on things, on the balance between spirit and form, thoughts and things, and cause and effect. There is a correlation of balance within the sign of the cross, which is the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Spirit, soul, and body, just like in our teaching symbol. Creator, creative process, and the creation. And there's a correlation of balance within the universal laws of nature that all of us must be in alignment with in order to thrive, to prosper, and to flourish in this thing called life. As many of you know, in our science of mind philosophy and teaching, we study the law of cause and effect, the law of attraction, and the law of correspondence, three laws. Cause and effect, attraction, and correspondence. All those three laws have several things in common. They are impeccable in their consistency. They are unlimited and unconditional in their scope. And they can be consciously used for a definite purpose. Impeccable, unlimited, unconditional, and consciously used. So what does that wind up being? It is done unto you as you believe. As above, so below is the spiritual correlation of all three of these laws that can be balanced in your life. So this morning we're going to explore these universal laws of nature and find a balance that works for you and you. Everyone individually. So there are three key points in this lesson. Key point number one is life mirrors back to you your thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Life mirrors back to you your thoughts, beliefs, and actions. If you look at your inserts in your program this morning, the icon there is a perfect picture that illustrates the universal truth, as above, so below. There's a polar bear taking a drink of water, and it can see its own reflection in the water. Just as a mirror reflects back to you exactly what image you place in front of it, life reflects back to you exactly what you think, what you believe, and whatever actions you take. Yes, it's printed in black and white, so it may be a bit challenging to see. But it is a polar bear looking in the water as it's drinking. Now, a mirror, just like the reflection of the water, has no choice. It must reflect back to you the image that is placed in front of it. Your thoughts, your beliefs, your actions are reflected back to you in direct proportion to the law of cause and effect. Behind every effect, there is a cause. And here is where the now famous law of attraction comes into play. And yet, Dr. Leonard Holmes, Dr. Ernest Holmes wrote about it over 90 years ago in his early books and lectures. Nothing can come into your experience unless you summon it through your persistent thoughts. And that's a scary thought in itself. But it's also a freeing thought. Your responsibility is to balance your thoughts in accordance with your beliefs, your values, and your convictions. And that was the key point number two, that our thoughts are magnetic. They have a frequency that attracts the same consciousness. So you're attracting the preponderance of your thoughts. And the final key point is the physical universe is a direct counterpart of the spiritual idea behind it. The physical universe is a direct counterpart of the spiritual idea behind it. The reflection of the polar bear, the attraction of like energy. This is the very wisdom that lies within as above, so below. And that's the law of correspondence. It's the concept of the invisible essence of spirit made visible in form. And God said, let us make man in our image. And from the invisible came the visible, humankind. Let there be light. Light came. Let there be land and waters. Land and waters came. Let there be the power of the word, the power of the truth, the power of belief and faith, the power of God to create of itself whatever God wanted, whatever the Creator wanted. Imagined it, and there it was. We do the same thing here. We do. Some of us don't have the strength of our awareness to actually believe that we can heal the sick, to actually believe that we have everything that we need. And so what happens then? We don't quite have everything we need. So we strengthen our belief. We understand that as above, so below. We don't like the below. Start changing our thoughts. Start changing the above. Start changing the spiritual openness and receptivity in our lives. The invisible and the visible realms of life are in perfect balance. And they are experienced instantaneously. And simultaneously, when you realize your true unity with God. Your conscious unity with God brings into alignment all the blessings of balance, harmony, and stability that you can possibly imagine. So imagine greater. If you're willing to join me on this exploration in consciousness, if you're ready to claim your divine inheritance of balance, harmony, and stability through the law of correspondence, place your hand on your heart and affirm this. I am ready, to reveal more balance in my life.
To reveal more balance in my life.
I know that as above, so below. As within,
so without.
So without.
As it is in heaven.
Oh, I'm sorry. On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so breathe. On earth as it is in heaven. There's another biblical phrase that says, whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if we here on earth bind negative energy to stay away from us, spiritually, we are embracing ourselves in more light, more love. If we set free our imagination and our faith and our image of perfection, when it says it is loosed in heaven, all that means it is loosed to be demonstrated in your life. Whatever we can imagine can demonstrate itself in our life. All that is good. Part of the affirmation is a passage from the Holy Scriptures taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It's from the Sermon on the Mount when the Master Jesus taught the multitude how to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus knew that there was no separation between him and the Father. He knew that there was no separation from the invisible and the visible. And so it's up to all of us to recognize and realize this truth. It's up to you and to me to activate and to balance the higher and lower realms by being instruments of the divine. That always calls to mind the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Dr. Ernest Holmes, founder of the religious science movement and author of the Science of Mind textbook, refers to this as the law of correspondence. He explains that the physical world that we experience is a counterpart of the spiritual world. He writes about how persistent, constructive thought is the greatest creative power known to man and is the most effective way to release our inner divinity. Ernest says, this teaching incorporates the great law of correspondence. The spiritual world contains an image of the physical. The physical is a counterpart of the spiritual. A true estimate of the outward symbol points to the spiritual reality behind it. We understand the unseen by correctly viewing the seen. The outward effect must partake of its inward nature. The physical universe is the result of an inner intelligence working through law. Behind form is idea. The formless creates form through the creative power of its own mind and spirit. Behind every effect there is a cause, and if this cause is a spiritual idea, which it must be, then it follows that should the spiritual idea be discerned, the physical effect would be like it. It's been said that living in balance means you can offset any negative experience in your life with a positive one. And you can. You truly can. As above, so below means that for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. As above, so below demonstrates that what you sow, so shall you reap. What you think about comes about. I think, therefore, I am. When we look at the sign of the cross, as above, so below, and in a metaphysical sense, as within, so without. So I'm going above at my forehead, below at my heart, to my left shoulder, as within, and to my right shoulder, so without. And there's meaning behind this. There's a great deal of meaning behind this. The above is the spiritual. As the spiritual, so the physical. So we've got the correspondence between spiritual and physical, the invisible and the visible. As within, we go to our left. What's on the left? Our heart. Why do we wear wedding rings and promise rings and stuff on our left hand? Because it goes straight to the heart. It's the emotion, the feeling. So as we feel inside, as within, so without, the physical Most people are right-handed. So, yes, this applies to everybody, whether you're right or left-handed. But with the other hand, these are the things that we do. So we've got, as within our being, so without our doing. If we try to say that we are doing all these things and therefore that means we are being, we're getting it backwards. When we are being in alignment, being in balance, being as above, so below, our doing reflects that balance. So if you're not seeing the balance out in your life, go within. Go back to the as within, so without. That's the direction. We take the invisible to the visible. We take the inner to the outer. And it just comes out so perfectly with the sign of the cross. And the cross has been a sacred symbol in many different faiths, not just Christianity. Ernest Holmes has something to say about that too. Always the idea of perfected man must have been in divine mind. Involved with the cause is its effect. And in the mind of the eternal, man must be perfect. God is perfect mind and cannot conceive imperfect ideas. Hence the idea of man as held in the mind of God must be a perfect idea. We're the ones with our little local thoughts that try to deny our perfection. The perfect man is the only man God knows. Man, being an individual, may do as he wills with himself. As Browning said, he may desecrate, but he can never lose his life. You can consciously or unconsciously do devastating things in your life, but you cannot take away the fact that you are a perfect idea of man in God. Well, man or woman, humankind. The Spirit ever has a witness within us, and the God-intended man already knows that he is one with the whole. So why is it that we can never totally destroy ourselves? Because within us, there is still the divine that occasionally we listen to. It says, really? You know, things are not that bad. Look, I'm sending someone to help you. Take another step. Sit still, don't wander. I will bring help to you. The invisible will manifest in the visible. Now, I'm not saying that there is that God sitting on a throne saying, oh, going to help him today. No. But the ideas are all a part of the one mind. And when you are disturbed in your life, that creates a disturbance in the energies. And those who are close to you, spiritually, emotionally, can sense those energies and will be compelled to check on you. It sounds very psychic. And some people think of it as psychic. What it truly is that great frequency. We all have a frequency that is continually uplifted by each other, by those we are close to. If we detect a disturbance in that frequency, in that balance, we start looking for it. We want to see what is out of balance right here. And how can I bring it back into balance? And that is why you see so many human angels here on earth, seeking to raise up and increase the vibration. And a lot of them don't even know they're doing it. They just get an idea, gee, I should call so-and-so, see how they are. Gee, somebody's walking down the street, and I think I'll smile at them. We don't even realize the extent of the unity of life that we are expressing on a day-to-day basis. I love it. Ernest talks about involution and evolution. Involution is what is going on within us, our inner growth. Evolution is what is expanding in the outer. As above, so below. As within, so without. So the involution is our internal growth, and the evolution is how it is manifested in the world. Involution is the idea. Ernest says, involution is the idea, while evolution is the unfoldment of the idea. Involution precedes evolution, and evolution follows with mechanical precision, propelled by an immutable law, the law of cause and effect. God is universal intelligence or spirit, and the only way intelligence can move is by an interior movement. God must move within God if God is all. He moves in and upon himself. Therefore, it's evident that the movement back of the objective world must be subjective. All the movement in the visible world must be invisible. It's the invisible movement that creates the visible. So whatever, Ernest says, whatever movement takes place, it must take place within and upon the one. And it follows that whatever is created out of this one. And so my last little phrase that I want to add here, and this is one to remember. God moves upon God. God moves upon God. And if you think about it, it couldn't be any other way. As above, so below. As within, so without. Everything outward is a reflection of what is inside. You don't like what you see in the mirror, go within and change you until you see the changes outside. What you sow, so shall you reap. What you think about comes about. I think, therefore, I am. God moves upon God. So I would like to close with these words of wisdom from Reverend John Pulaski. As above, so below is about the practical and spiritual application of bringing into balance the journey from your head to the heart. That means you must take the science of mind philosophy to heart and not just intellectualize it. It is one thing to think about this wonderful teaching, and it is quite another to actually live it. If you truly desire to live a life of balance and well-being, allow your consciousness to fully embody this truth with all your heart and reveal the truth that you so richly deserve. Reverend John Pulaski, I am so grateful he wrote that down. So grateful. So thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Namaste.